Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Jordan smashes one to center field. Forget about it. A laser beam out to center. The big man hits his 31st of the year. We're tied up at one.
My goodness. Air Jordan continues to endear himself to the faithful of the Mariners.
That one was huge because before that home run, did it not feel like the Astros were, one, not going to score any runs, and two, like Framber Valdez at any moment could give up a ton? That Jordan Alvarez home run was the first run in a 4-run rally by the Astros in the fourth inning. You also saw Mauricio Dubon go yard with a 3-run home run. And the Astros beat the Seattle Mariners 8-3 last night. Game and a half lead over the Mariners for the final wildcard playoff spot. Magic number for the Texas Rangers is now at 2. So if the Astros want to miraculously win the division, they have to sweep the Diamondbacks, and they're going to need the Mariners to take 3 of 4. Will that happen? Honestly, I do not know. But more people are talking about what happened in the sixth inning of last night's game. Astros are up 4-3. Hector Neris takes the mound, faces four batters, strikes out three, including his friend, Julio Rodriguez, at the very end. He was on fire going into that performance, at 0.6 ERA over the 15 innings before, and he lost his mind, in a fun way, after mowing down Julio Rodriguez. I don't think I've ever seen a pitcher walk that far down to home plate to rub it in a batter's face that he struck him out. Seriously, I don't think I've ever seen that. Some people are going to call it Bush League. Generally, they would be Mariners fans. Others are going to call it awesome. Mainly, they are going to be Astros fans. And when you think about it, honestly, Astros fans are the only people that are probably going to like that. It was surprising, unexpected. It led to both benches clearing. And it really did feel like Neris got in the Mariners' head in that moment. But a lot of people are wondering what the hell Hector Neris said and why this actually happened. So, first glance, internet sleuths went back to 2022. There was a moment where Julio Rodriguez hit a 2-run homer right after Hector Neris had hit Mariners batter JP France. He made some gestures while rounding the bases that the Astros probably didn't like. Hector Neris, I think, told J-Rod something. I don't know what is and what isn't a Spanish cuss. So he said something to Julio along the way. But these guys, Julio Rodriguez and Hector Neris, are friends or have the same agent, possibly both. These are guys that both calmed down Framber Valdez when he was having his meltdown against the Mariners a couple of weeks ago. They all have the same agent. They all seemed like they were there together. It didn't seem like there was any bad blood between the three. But this is also a guy in Hector Neris who we know doesn't really care when he's going up against his friends or teammates. He just wants to win. Remember the World Baseball Classic? He tried to kill Jose Altuve. He was trying to brush him off the plate. It's a World Baseball Classic. I respect that level of competing a guy. I truly do. But this is a guy who clearly does not give a bleep about friendship when there is competition going on.
Yes. Runs hot. Probably. He should play football. I'll just leave it at that. He should play middle linebacker for something.
I would love to see that. True.
It's that kind of juice that he's bringing to all these baseball games.
Right. And it doesn't matter if it's his friend. And look, guy friends do get in fights and we get over it. I think I've told this story before. I'm very thankful that there was no camera phones with good cameras back in the day. But one time, after me and my buddies all dressed up as the Spice Girls for Halloween, I felt like my friends had ditched me at a frat party and I felt embarrassed. So went back up, yelled at them a little bit. One of my friends who was bigger than me came down, and the next thing I know, me and him, while still dressed as the Spice Girls, at least the wigs were off at this moment in time, we're rolling down the stairs, just beating the absolute bejesus out of each other, almost cussed, good save, beating the hell out of each other. And eventually, he won that fight. Like he won. He got me in a spot where he was about to break my arm, and I was like, damn it. So I tapped out. Next day, we had breakfast together. Like, it was fine. I'm sure he felt very proud of himself. I didn't feel that much shame because I was like, well, I mean, he's bigger than me. What am I supposed to do here? I stood my ground.
Yeah, normally the guy who wins the fight isn't still upset the next day.
Definitely not. No. I wasn't still upset the next day either, though. Again, I've told you, 2-4 career fight record. That was one of the L's. I was wearing a dress while that was happening. So, yeah. So, but we got over it. We got over it right afterwards.
Do you think that you had gotten mad about your friends ditching you at the party if you weren't dressed like, I don't know, Baby Spice?
No, not at all. I wouldn't have cared. Not at all.
Yeah, so it's because you were wearing a dress. You're like, I'm just the guy in a dress at this party.
Here's what happened. I got in and they didn't get in. I thought they got in with me. They didn't get in. I got in because apparently I looked like a lady. What a surprise. Isn't that hilarious? My sock boobs. I had this one, this long dress. Stuffed sock boobs, and no one saw the hairy legs because it was like a long, like knee-length dress. And my donk, I guess, was popping enough to pass as a lady. So there you go, college stories.
Why did they? Never mind. I was gonna ask why didn't they like text you that they didn't get in and you did, but
well, I think this was during a time where texting was not as easy.
Also because I stopped myself, not because of that, but that is true.
I had a flip phone then. Like you had to press like 111.
T9.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, but you also were wearing a dress, so you didn't have pockets.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you could hold it in your sock boob.
Yeah, put it in my sock boob. Anyway, to go back to this, guy friends get mad at each other, but people are mad about what he potentially said. And everyone thinks they know with a certainty. And I'm not sure if anyone really does. Asked what he said to Julio Rodriguez, this is what Hector Neris said. It's like, if he hit me, I got you. I just say, I got you. Asked a little bit further about it, here's the audio of Hector Neris.
This is part of the game, emotional, like, this situation today, injury today. Nothing personal, it's nothing. It's only trying to make all my team and heads up and try to play hard.
You think
you fired up
the team at all? Yep. Were you
trying to do that? Nope. It's part of the game. It's part of the moment.
So, it's part of the game. But others are saying he said something else. Julio Rodriguez was shocked by what Neris said. And per Mariners third baseman Eugenio Suarez, Neris directed a homophobic slur towards Rodriguez on Espanol. Some believe he said, sit down, word that begins with C. I'm not sure if I can say it on the air, truly.
I'm really not sure what the FCC Spanish
I don't either.
Rules are. But yes, do not say the one that starts with C.
He said,
Inye in it.
Per lip readers, he said, batea, 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 C word, vadeahi, which is supposedly Dominican slang that essentially is, go ahead and hit it, mother bleeper, get out of here. And this is where it's tricky because, look, as you can tell, I'm very white. I'm not someone who knows a lick of Spanish. I took Duolingo. I forgot everything I learned on Duolingo. Had a 60-day streak at one point, which goes to show you it doesn't really help you that much. Maybe I should take Babbel. But anyway, to bring it back, there are so many words that can be interpreted in a variety of different ways in the English language. And when we culturally look at it through our prism, we are going to potentially hate what they said a little bit more than what other people say. And we're going to act differently because of where we're raised and who, I guess, we're around and what country we're in than other people. And there is a dynamic in Latin culture of homophobia. It's there. This isn't me saying that every single Latin person is homophobic, but with certain cultures, I would say in other cultures that, again, I'm not a part of, but like I would say among Black people, that there is a little bit more like pushback against it than there are with like white people. Am I wrong? So again, just my observing here. When it comes to a word like this, I know that there's a P word in Spanish that I can't say on the air probably either, that is interpreted as either bitch in English or homophobic slur in English. And it like varies person to person. And this word is in the same way. So this is going to sound like a devil's advocate defense of Hector Neris. I truly do not know if that word is offensive or not. I think the only people that really do know are Dominican people. Because these are two Dominican guys going back and forth with one another who clearly know each other. So that's really my take on this whole thing. I know it's the Seattle Times, of course, had a like headline that essentially said, like, he said a homophobic slur. Well, it's based off of one person. Is Eugenio Suarez Dominican? Honestly, off the top of my head, I do not know. But people are turning it into that. I legitimately think it was him saying something along the lines of, yeah, I got you, mother bleeper. Could be wrong. Eugenio Suarez is from Venezuela. How does Jose Altuve feel about something like that? I don't know. Julio Rodriguez said he was shocked by what he heard.
And we have things in English where from, you know, Australians. Australians are much more comfortable calling each other the C word, the English C
word. And the
word,
English too, yeah.
In English. Then Americans are calling each other that. Like, if you call someone a C word in Australia, they are generally more okay with it than if you call someone here, you get in a fight, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it could, and again, this is two white guys talking about how different Americans interpret Spanish curse words. But in my little white brain, that's how that makes sense, is that it's one of those situations.
And look, we're naturally going to be a little bit biased towards Hector Neris right now. We are. Because we liked the visuals. We do not know the audibles. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. There was a big story in the NBA yesterday. Damian Lillard is going to the Milwaukee Bucks to join Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm going to tell you how this actually could potentially help the Rockets get Giannis. I know it sounds crazy. Hear me out. Plus, this is not a story. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
When you're in the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, every moment's grander. Even calling dibs on your favorite seat.
All right, kids, let's pack it up.
Wait, passenger seat. I need to charge my phone.
Not fair. I need to charge mine.
No way. I got first dibs today.
You know you can charge your phones from pretty much any seat, right?
With three rows of spacious seating and seven USB-C charging ports, life's grander in the first ever Grand Highlander. Toyota, let's go places.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros took down the Mariners 8-3 last night. Game and a half up on them in the AL wild card standing. We were talking about what Hector Neris is alleged to have said in last night's game. For some, it was a homophobic slur. For others, it's just a way that Dominicans talk to one another. A couple of texts for context. A person who is Salvadorian says that we tend to talk to each other, sometimes calling each other by a different version of the same homophobic slang word. It means big zero in other countries. Another texter says, we had a foreman whose name is Bernardo, but every single person calls him by that name, which Hector Neris supposedly called Julio Rodriguez. Like, someone called the office and someone asked who's calling, he would say that. So a little of context here. I'm not going to try to cancel Hector Neris after that performance last night. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. This wasn't Yuli Gurriel. How about that? What Yuli did was bad. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that one with Yu Darvish. That one, no defense. Okay, the Milwaukee Bucks immediately became the NBA's most likable team by trading for Damian Lillard yesterday. Three-team trade. Portland gets Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Tumani Kamara, Milwaukee's 2029 unprotected first-round draft pick, and unprotected swap rights in 2028 and 2030. Not much, to be perfectly honest. The Suns received a couple of people, including Grayson Allen. But Lillard, 33, spent the last 11 years in Portland, 32.2 points a game last year, now gets to play alongside Giannis. And there's a chance that this works. The Bucks are now the consensus favorites to win the NBA championship this coming season. But I think this actually works in the Rockets' favor here. If this doesn't work out, and there's a chance it doesn't work out, don't forget how bad Damian Lillard is defensively. If it doesn't work out where you've got Lillard and Giannis, and you know right away, year one, Giannis, who has 2 years left on his deal before a player option that I'm sure he will opt out of because he wants to get a bigger contract, he might ask out sooner rather than later, and potentially the Rockets could find themselves with the opportunity to trade for Giannis. And given the draft picks they have in the future, given the young assets that they have in the future, I do feel like should Giannis ask for a trade, which I don't think would happen after this, during this coming season, but could potentially happen after this coming season, assuming something that I'm not sure will happen, assuming that it's just a disastrous year for Giannis and Lillard paired up. That's certainly possible. That's on the table. So once again, Hakeem Olajuwon, tamper the bejesus out of him. I get he's paying you $50,000 for you to teach him stuff. Tamper. Get Houston Catering. The guy loves food. Feed him. Feed him Houston food. Houston food is awesome. That is how we get him here. That's how it happens. That's how you convince him to potentially want to come to the Rockets. I want Giannis on the Rockets so badly. So badly. There is no star in the NBA who is more likable than Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know some of you loser Harden haters, or excuse me, haters who are Harden stands out there. Some of you losers were like, oh, actually, like Harden's a better player. No, you're stupid. You're just stupid if you thought that. You have no taste. You wear cargo shorts. You wear Crocs.
Unlike Giannis, who has excellent taste.
He does have excellent taste. Legitimately, Sean, give him his chicken minis.
I think the Bucks are going to be awesome.
I'm holding out hope that it's a disaster. But it's a very likable team. It's going to be hard for me to root against them, but in the best interests of the poorly run Houston Rockets, hashtag Tillman Fertitta, hashtag Rafael Stone, hashtag Fertitta Spawn, I am just saying here, I'm trying to wish for good things to break your way, you know?
Okay. You know, there's like 10 teams in the league that were super bummed out when this happened because they're like, man, it makes it harder for Giannis to ask out now. Or not makes it harder, but makes it less likely.
Oh, well, yeah, the Knicks, who assume they're going to get every star.
Yeah,
the Lakers, Heat, who also assume they're going to get every star. The Heat, as you mentioned. Jimmy Butler, our beloved Jimmy Butler, Tomblezone, is accusing the Bucks of tampering. Well, duh, they all tamper.
Yeah, I know.
They all tamper.
It's a very funny thing to...
Is a big failure by Pat Riley. Taking L's. Taking L's. He's taking L's on the Winning Time show, too. Interesting. Pat Riley. No Red Auerbach, that's for damn sure. What? Why are you laughing? I'm not biased.
What just happened?
Just pointing out facts.
Who cares?
Me.
Who
me,
cares about Red Auerbach?
I do.
Okay.
Greatest architect in basketball history.
Does anyone get in arguments about the greatest architect in basketball history?
Well, they should, and they do.
Is that coming up next on First Take?
Next, Red Auerbach, civil rights activist. What he was?
No. I forgot that Mad Dog Russo is on First Take. So yes, they do care about this on First Take.
Thank you. Let me be an old man for a second, okay? I have gray in my beard.
Was Red Auerbach running the team when you were born?
He was still involved in operations, yes.
Okay. Oh, then, yeah, Pitino fired.
Yeah, Pitino sucks. Pitino's literally the worst. I hate Pitino more than I hate any coach in sports, which is saying something. Really quickly, James Harden. Oh, I'm not showing up for media day. What a shocker. And also, not a shocker, not a story. Harden had a party at the club when they brought him bottles, they had a sign that said, Daryl Morey is a liar. What a surprise. This guy, get original, dude. Like, can we be original? Lame. It's the same old, same old. Add a little spice to your temper tantrum, okay? My God.
He was supporting the Houston Dynamo as they won the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open trophy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Dynamo put the ball in net, and they didn't get carded, and congratulations, winning the NBA play-in tournament championship, essentially.
One of the most prestigious tournaments that are in the America that are called the U.S. Open.
I'll be perfectly honest. I don't give a flying F about that. I just don't care. I don't care. Congratulations, Dynamo, on winning the U.S. Open Cup. I don't give a rat's ass about that. I just don't care. Win the actual
MLS Cup.
Yeah. This is a weird in-season tournament that I don't think everybody takes seriously, okay? Oh, little Messi. Great. Cool.
Oh, Messi
did play. 50 years old. He didn't play either. See, there you go. What are we doing here? Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Things might be getting a little tougher for the Texans on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and not just because of the injuries. We'll fill you in next.
ESPN 97.5.com on the Chase Long.
Excuse me. Excuse me. What?
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Got him. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Neris pumped up. And he is going to say something to Julio Rodriguez on his way off the mound. He was pumped up and walked right at Julio Rodriguez.
Astros hero. Astros provocateur. Hector Neris, with the Astros clinging to a 4-3 lead, came into last night's game, struck out the side, got in Julio Rodriguez's face, may have said some words that are not FCC friendly, certainly not 2023 friendly for we English-speaking white Americans because of some of the headlines that you saw afterwards. But whatever he said really felt like he got in the Mariners' head. That was a great win for the Astros last night. Win of the year. 8-3 over Seattle. They are now a game and a half up on the Mariners for that last wild card spot. You got any thoughts on that? 713-780-3776. On the Twitch, Ace Mendez asks, how was the group chat after last night's game, Paul? They have not been talking recently, and I'm wondering if they have a separate group. I'm wondering if they have a separate group.
Almost definitely they do.
Yeah. Because whenever I say something, too, they've actually stopped responding. It's very Seattle.
What you should do...
Seattle freeze.
What you should do, because now the Astros need the Mariners to win 3 out of 4 against the Rangers, to even for the Astros to even have a shot at winning the division. That's your olive branch in that group chat, if you would like it, is a, okay. Hey, let's go Mariners. Let's go M's. And like... You know, every time they score, you'd be like, we needed that. Good job, guys.
I'm going to wear the Mario Rose shirt on Saturday.
Whoa.
Big day.
You just announced that? Just like that?
Yeah.
You didn't want to build up to it? Give it to Woj? Maybe
well,
he tweets it?
You know what? No, I should wear it tomorrow. Normally, see, the thing is, when I'm on the show on Fridays, I always wear a tropical shirt.
Tropical shirt Friday, yeah.
Florida shirt Friday, yes.
Florida shirt Friday.
Yeah. But I think I'm gonna wear the Mariner Rose shirt tomorrow. Because we gotta root for the Mariners now. We need help. Come on, baby. Anyway.
You've worked very hard to distance yourself from the Mariners and
but we have to do it now. We have to.
Okay.
Unless here's the question. I guess
well, no, they could don't they play tonight? If they lose tonight, who cares? They're not gonna win 3 straight against the
Well, they have to if that's the case.
No, but then just not going to happen.
The magic number for the Rangers is 2, so you're probably right. I don't think they're going to win 3 in a row.
And then the Astros need a sweep. That's the other part.
I guess here's the question, and we can answer this in the next segment, but load up the text line in the meantime. 713-780-3776. Do you want more the Astros to win the division so that they get one up on the Rangers, which would probably come with the Mariners making the playoffs? Or do you want the Mariners to miss the playoffs altogether? And I will root for whatever you guys root for.
I thought you were going to say, do you want them to win the division and have to play at home? Because I kind of, this is very dumb sports fan of me. This team's better on the road.
They are better on the road.
I don't want home games. And I know that's only, I mean, after the wild card round, the Fugazi wild card round, where it's all going to be on the road, that once you get into the playoffs, like, it's only one less home game. Like, it's not that big of a difference, mm-hmm. but still kind of don't want home field advantage.
I kind of do, because I think it's embarrassing to make the fake run to the playoffs. That's really where I'm at. But you're right. So that's another factor here. So would you rather the Astros win the division, supplant the Rangers, or would you rather have the Mariners miss the playoffs altogether, which means that the Astros would be the wild card team? I know that's a complicated question to ask.
Just what do you want? What do you want from the last three Astros games, the last four Rangers
right.
and Mariners
we'll,
games?
We'll talk about that in the 11:45 segment. Mesa, Texas says the Astros do not need to sweep. Two out of three for sure. No, they if they win two out of three, if we're talking about winning the division, they need the Mariners to sweep the Rangers. To make the playoffs, totally different story because they're, of course, a game and a half up. But the magic number for the Rangers is two. So the Rangers win one, that's one. If the Astros lose one, that's one. It's any combination of Astros losses and Rangers wins gives the Rangers the AL West. Anyway, guys, let's talk about the Houston Texans' big matchup on Sunday. C.J. Stroud is going to be facing one of the best defenders in the NFL, T.J. Watt. To begin his press conference yesterday, he was asked about T.J. Watt and how he intends to, I guess, make sure Watt doesn't destroy the game given the offensive line situation the Texans are currently in.
Yeah, I mean, I have trust and faith in my guys, and my job is to get the ball out on time and do whatever it takes to execute. He's a great player, both 90 and 56. Definitely two dogs, and even up front, their D tackles are really good too. But this isn't the first time we're playing against really good DNs too. But I think he's probably the best defensive player in the league other than Michael Parsons and a couple other guys that are standing out in the league right now. But got to be aware of him. But at the same time, we got to have confidence in what we're doing, and they got to play us too. Like, we're not just going to lay down and not just going to and just submit because he's the best player. We're really good players on the side too. So looking forward to competing against those guys, but got to do my part and just playing clean.
I love hearing that he said they got to play us too. I love hearing it. But it's going to be pretty scary for him on Sunday. So Laremy Tunsil is probably going to be out with the knee injury, his third consecutive missed game. Left tackle Josh Jones is expected to miss the game too due to a hand injury. So if they're both out, the Texans would be down to third starting left tackle, which I believe would go to Austin Deculus, their third starting left guard, their third starting center, and their second starting right tackle. Holy crap. Not great. And they have not been running the football well either. So it's hard to believe that they're going to be able to truly protect C.J. Stroud. A lot of pressure on the defense. You're going to have to hope for a lot of Kenny Pickett mess-ups. But more pressure on the offense because it's not just that. So one of our listeners, Dez, a.k.a. Larry Footsack on Twitter, she tagged me in a Facebook group. It's called Steelers Fans Take Over Houston in NRG Stadium. There are 1,100 members in this group. And this is just the organized Steelers vacation to NRG. There's going to be a lot of Steelers fans on Sunday. It's one of the biggest fan bases in the NFL. They do travel well. I am legitimately wondering if they're going to have to go at times to a silent count in this game. And I know there will be some Texans fans there because it's J.J. Watt Day and everything, but I'm very curious as to what this stadium is going to look like. Does a win against the Jaguars get a lot of fans back in? I'm not convinced that it does. I don't feel that way. I know that they were trying to push that fear of sellout thing for the home opener
against
Indianapolis. FOSO, you're right. Hashtag FOSO. And I mean,
fear of Steelers out.
That is a terrifying proposition. I hate those terrible towels. They're so stupid. Oh, we got a terrible towel. How about, you know what? You know what else is terrible? Your record against the New England Patriots.
Ooh, ouch.
Roasted.
Oh, I'm Jerome Bettis. I'm Ben Roethlisberger. The Patriots were stealing our signs.
I don't know. Maybe have your supposedly good head coach change them, seeing as they played them earlier in the year on Halloween, and the signals they kept as the same from the game that they played earlier that year. Just common sense. Change your signals. And I don't know, have things that are maybe a little bit more complicated than handing the ball off to Jerome Bettis, who has never been good against the Patriots. We're talking like 1996 on. With the Steelers, Jerome Bettis. Oh, wow, big guys running up the middle. The Patriots have good linebackers. What do you think is going to happen? My God. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. What do you want for the Astros? Are you cool with them being the sixth and final playoff berth in the American League? Do you want them to win the division? Do you want to see the Rangers not win the AL West? Or do you want to see the Mariners out? What do you want more? Paul Galacho. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. You do have a Thursday night football game tonight, and I generally would advise you to stay away from Thursday night football games because you never really can truly predict what's going to happen. A team that's a traditional favorite might actually end up not showing up. They might be tired. They might be banged up. It generally adds for more randomness. It's why I usually stay away from it. But maybe you still want a taste of this. MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975 on a deposit of $50 or more, and you will receive up to $200 in cash instantly to your MyBookie account. Maybe you want to bet on this Thursday night football game. The Lions are 2-point favorites against the Green Bay Packers. They're going to be without their starting left tackle. They're going to be without David Montgomery. Are they going to be able to keep doing what they've been doing the last 20 games or so with Jared Goff under center, which is putting up a lot of numbers offensively through the air? They're going to be able to run the ball with Jahmyr Gibbs and without Montgomery? I got some questions. And I think the Packers are going to cover. I think the Packers are going to win. I know it's Jordan Love, but I do like Matt LaFleur over Dan Campbell. But you want to bet for yourself? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 on that deposit of $50 or more. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Who?
Jack Burton. Me.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Oh, behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros did take down the Seattle Mariners 8-3 yesterday. Huzzah! Biggest win of the year. Game and a half ahead of Seattle now. Looks like they've got the inside track for that sixth and final wild card spot. Though it does depend on what Seattle does against Texas, and it depends on what Toronto does against Tampa Bay to wrap up the year. I honestly can't really make any predictions as to what's going to happen. It does seem rather complicated. I think, though, best case scenario for the Astros to advance, just given how good they've been on the road, would be for them to end up as the sixth seed. It's weird that they are so much better on the road than they are at home. I cannot explain it for the life of me. I know that Chandler Rome had that piece in there. Athletic about the batter's eye and how that's a mess, but honestly, they just feel schleppy at home. It's like they're me today. Like they didn't shower. They just show up. They put on a hat. They put on some gym shorts. I haven't had water pressure for the last day. Home ownership is fun because of the stuff you can do, but it sucks when stuff starts to not work. So like my air conditioning is leaking into one of my bathrooms, and I just didn't have any water pressure for the last 20 hours unannounced because the people across the hall who I hate, the ones that keep on making like loud noises when they're doing construction for no reason at all. Like, like, I don't know. What are you, an effing parrot? These sons of bitches. These people also turned off the water.
What would Hector Neris call these people?
I know what he would call them. I want Hector Neris to bean them. I hate these guys. They would probably understand. They were pretending like they didn't understand me saying like, stop yelling. They're pretending like they didn't. They knew, but they kept on doing it anyway. They suck. I hate these contractors. Honestly, I hate that neighbor by proxy. I've yet to meet him, but I hate the neighbor. He's got a lot of making up to do.
But home ownership is fun in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I got to do some fun things with my balcony, which looks like a pretty gangster right now. But yeah, I mean, it sucks enough that I'm sorry, I'm indulging. It sucks enough that I have a popcorn ceiling that I'm eventually gonna have to get rid of. But in that bathtub, all of a sudden, the air conditioning, which I just had replaced not that long ago, now all of a sudden, like, it is leaking into the ceiling, and the ceiling is like, it's not good. It's not in good shape right now. I had to buy one of those portable fans yesterday at Target, and now it's like directed up so that it's slightly drying that popcorn ceiling, but it's like you touch it and it's like it feels like it's falling. It's not good.
I
probably
have
got mold. This is bad.
I have a homeowning question. Actually, no, it's not really a homeowning question.
Do we want to keep going on this? I feel like I've talked about long about it.
Just popcorn ceilings. I don't really get them.
I don't either.
I don't get what the point is.
Insulation. It's asbestos.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, not good. You don't want to touch that stuff because if you do, it can totally disrupt things. So this is one of those places you buy. I like it. It's got a nice view. It's got some nice like bases, but it's an older building and it does need work. So it's like it's a fixer upper project. So there you go, everybody. Paul Gallant talking home ownership here.
Let's talk about the Houston Astros instead. There's no good transition there.
Nope.
You know who owns not Minute Maid Park?
Who's that?
the Houston Astros.
That's true.
They own every ballpark that isn't Minute Maid Park.
It's probably best case scenario for the Astros to end up as the sixth seed and for the Mariners to not make the playoffs.
But you're still asking them to win 2 out of 3 against like a pretty good team.
Yeah,
that is the more favorable scenario.
They have to take care of business no matter what. Like they could sweep the Diamondbacks, awesome, and the Rangers could lose 3 of 4 to the Mariners, and the Mariners would very likely have a chance to get into the playoffs, depending on how
Toronto
right. and the Blue Jays take that seriously. Excuse me, how Tampa Bay and Toronto take that series, how seriously they take it. Toronto's going to take it seriously. They have to, but I'm wondering about the Tampa Bay side of things. There is a part of me that would laugh at the Mariners missing, and I know that I think right now that more Astros fans hate Mariners fans than they hate Rangers fans. We like Tab. Do we like Mariners fans? Do we? Because it does feel like Mariners fans are worse sports to our eyes. Obviously, they cheered when Jose Altuve got hit by a pitch earlier in this series.
Mm-hmm. They threw a ball at George Kirby. Classless.
They did. There was a little bit of, I got to say, thank you, Dusty. A lot of great decisions last night. But before the game, Dusty Baker created bulletin board material saying, like, well, man, they're hitting us so much. And then in reality, the Astros have hit like twice as many Mariners as the Mariners have hit Astros this year. It's kind of funny for him to bring that up. It's like, man, like they got to stop hitting our guys.
That is some college football coach. That's Kirby Smart being like, they picked us to go 7-5.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But, we play for wins, not clicks over in the Houston Astros, you know?
Yes.
Mariners, they're so worried about, oh, what graphic did you tweet out after getting swept? What mean things is Jeremy Branham and Paul Gallant saying on Twitter about the Mariners? They're worried about clicks, not wins.
That's true.
We talk with our bats here.
That's true. Just like Colorado, Sean. All right, time for a little garbage time.
It's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
We are actually in it for clicks, for ratings, for numbies. And guess what, guys? Taylor Swift's going to be in attendance for Chiefs Jets. Sunday Night Football, you're going to see so much Taylor Swift because the Jets suck. While we're on celebrities from the NFL, how many of you remember Angelina from the Jersey Shore? Think about her from this perspective. Imagine the television show The Jersey Shore, and imagine how trashy some of the characters on that show are. Angelina is easily the trashiest of them all. She was caught sliding in a New York Jets fullback's direct message on Instagram. The problem is, this man is married. The other problem is, too, his wife is way hotter than Angelina. Like, it's not even a fair fight. Sorry to be looksist here. But she is being shamed now for trying to end a marriage online. And the actual wife seems a little too insecure about it, to be perfectly honest. Like, she's putting her on blast, but she's not threatening you at all. No matter how you might be as a human being, there's zero chance of this, of Angelina, knowing her as a human being from that television show, zero chance of this person stealing your husband.
Oh, wow. I just opened up the link. Yeah. What?
Her name is Alexis Bawden. She is the wife of Jets fullback Nick Bawden. She is very beautiful.
Did Angelina from the Jersey Shore not, like, read the scouting report?
She definitely didn't.
Did she not?
I bet she didn't know that he was married. Let's continue to go through garbage time. We thought that Colorado stomping on Oregon's logo was bad. I kind of respect this. New Mexico State Aggie, classic Aggie, quarterback Diego Pavia allegedly peed on the New Mexico Lobos logo.
This is out of line. No, this is out of line, but I like it. If you're going to take a rivalry seriously, if you're really trying to disrespect the other team's logo, which I think is one of the stupidest things in sports.
This is actually marking your territory like a dog.
Yes. Like, this is like the logical extent of all of this goes.
I'm a fan of this. I mean, I know, like, ooh, public urination, but, like, we're men. We should be allowed to pee wherever. Check that. Not at schools. That's a sex crime.
Next story.
Emily Ratajkowski. Speaking of the ladies, she had a hot take. She said she won't date men that wear ankle socks because she doesn't like dainty ankles. And legitimately, Sean, I spent 20 minutes last night looking for the correct socks to have that are not ankle socks to wear with shorts. I think I'm going to start wearing mid-ankle socks now.
Like
with shorts.
Not like crew socks.
No, I think like crew socks.
Okay, you're going to start wearing... Okay, so you're going to start dressing like
maybe crew socks?
I did in high school.
Maybe
okay.
Crew socks, but maybe, you know, my colorful socks too. I looked up online and some people said it's okay. I have dainty ankles. I have dainty forearms. Like, all my mass is in my pecs and my butt. It's all there. But no forearms, no calves. So I think I gotta hide it because I like wearing shorts. But I think I gotta start wearing high socks with those shorts,
just in case. Like, you see Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah, well, she got with Eric Andre. Why not me? I'm funny in a sad kind of way. It's gonna wrap up the show. Marinate on that. He is Sean Mapes. Big thanks to our texters, our twitchers, and our callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Josh Beard and The Who is up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
You was a toilet baby. Tiff just plopped down like a little old turd. Just right down in the bowl.